Welcome to the BitByte Podcast, your source for news and information about Bitcoin and the cryptocurrency space. This podcast is meant for educational and entertainment purposes only, and is not financial advice.
So I know we probably should have recorded an episode last week, but I was out of town, so we're kind of playing catch-up, and there's been a bunch of different developments that have taken place.
And it looks like there's going to be quite a few more by the end of the week.
Yeah. We've got... The world is in turmoil, man, and it's just getting worse and worse by the day, is what it seems like. I mean, I don't know how long it'll be. I mean, oil prices are probably expected to increase again still. We haven't seen it yet, but that's more than likely coming. There's stuff with our cousins across the border to the north.
Fun things. I don't know what you're talking about.
It's, dude, I cannot believe. Like, I mean, first time I saw the headline, you know, it's something that I would believe coming out of China or even Russia. But to freeze the bank accounts of protesters. And you know what's crazy is that we don't hear anything. Like, the news is hardly saying anything about it.
Yeah.
I mean,
well, that's because they're on board with this.
Yeah. Any of the normal type news information outlets, like, they mention it, but they're like, they kind of just kind of gloss over it. It's like, do you realize what is happening? The Bitcoin community, of course, is freaking out about it.
No, I mean, if we saw Russia doing the same thing, everyone would be losing their damn minds right now, right?
Oh, could you imagine if Trump had done it to the Black Lives Matter movement?
Yeah, I mean, but, you know, you do that to some people who are, you know, more right of center and against the establishment, you know, that just they don't really want to look there.
Yeah, I think it's. It is amazing, and I'm completely flabbergasted. And I think the thing that hurts me the most is that the U.S. has not condemned the actions of Trudeau.
I wouldn't expect their government to do that, because I wouldn't put it past them to do the same thing if they were put in a similar position.
Yep. Well, and I mean, it goes back to, and I hate to make it political, but we had mentioned this on our other podcast where I was talking with people online, or I put a post out there, you know, how terrifying it is that they silenced Trump when he got banned from everything. And Everybody was just like, oh, you're a big Trump supporter and he's reckless and he's horrible and all this other stuff. Right. I said, that doesn't matter. I mean, I understand, right? There's people that have freedom of speech and maybe they've used it incorrectly, whatever. However, that is their freedom to do what, as they wish. But the scary thing is the implications. Once you let that go and you start to silence people based off their political beliefs, and then you start to take away their economic freedoms. I mean, where does the line stop?
At a certain point, it's going to be straight to the gulag, right?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, and when you look at, I think Trudeau had posted back in 2015 on how he stood with Hong Kong and their right to protest and all that stuff. Where's really, dude? You have lost the mark big time.
Well, I've also seen clips of Trudeau praising China and what they've done with everything, you know, COVID related.
Yeah.
So I think that's really where his loyalties lie as far as admiration. That and his daddy, Fidel Castro.
Yeah, I am just like, I am blown away. So first off, looking at the Bitcoin market, we're not looking so hot.
What are we at now?
Right now we're at 36,632.80.
Ooh. We've dropped, when I checked a few hours ago, it was 38.
Yeah, we've dropped a couple thousand since earlier today. And today is February 21st, for those that are wondering. Because these podcasts, that's the crazy thing about Bitcoin podcasts. If you don't catch it right when it happens, you're already behind, man.
You're exactly.
Behind. This market changes so fast and so quickly. However, I did see a report earlier today that particular individual that we had talked about before that was buying up Bitcoin like crazy, apparently they bought $20 million worth more Bitcoin in the past 6 hours. So you're selling to somebody and they are scooping it up.
Yep. They're betting that it's going to turn a hefty profit. So,
yeah, I mean, when you're stacking that much, I'm pretty sure this is the same wallet that had done all those other accumulations where they, I think it was almost $1 billion in like a matter of a week or something like that, of Bitcoin. I can't remember the exact number, and I should have looked that up beforehand, but I just heard that today, that particular whale had been continuing to buy. We'll come back to this price of Bitcoin and see where it is by the end of this podcast, just within the next few minutes or whatever, just because I'm kind of curious. Trudeau's emergency order aimed at freezing the funds of Freedom Convoy caught banks off guard. Banks didn't even see it coming. And then I put down on the Discord chat, I'm going to pull it up on my phone so I can actually read it. I sent this to you earlier today. So this is from the Nunchuck team. Apparently, the Ontario Superior Court of Justice reached out to him. And this came off a string of other things, too. I believe it was the CEO of Kraken was on, was it Tucker Carlson? He was on there and he said, look, get your money off, get your crypto off the exchanges. They are going to make us freeze your assets. So get it off now. Like, he's warning everybody, right? You know, once you have it in your own personal custody, and that's a big thing about Bitcoin, is that personal custody is a big part of it, but it also goes back to being your own bank, being responsible for your own financial actions and your own economic welfare, right?
Right.
So apparently this was a response that was sent out to the Ontario Superior Court of Justice, and it's from the CEO of the Nunchuck team. And it says, Nunchuck is a self-custodial collaborative multi-sig Bitcoin wallet. We are a software provider, not a custodial financial intermediary. Our software is free to use. It allows people to eliminate single points of failures and store Bitcoin in the safest way possible while preserving privacy. We do not collect any user identification information beyond email addresses. We also do not hold any keys. Therefore, we cannot freeze our users' assets. We cannot prevent them from being moved. We do not have the knowledge of the existence, nature, value, and location of our users' assets. This is by design. Please look up how self-custody and private keys work. When the Canadian dollar becomes worthless, we will be here to serve you too. Sincerely, the Nunchuck team. That like the icing on the cake right there.
Yeah, perfect amount of smarminess. Hopefully they don't get trampled by some horses here shortly.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, the trampling of the horses, this is way worse than that, in my opinion. I mean, don't get me wrong, being trampled by a horse does not sound like a good time. But the amount of people that are affecting with this?
No, it's insane. I mean, the effects that people are feeling from this, I mean, they're taking a beating financially.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you got people, I mean, this is... they're not going to be able to feed their kids, nothing. And I mean, he says it's temporary, but I read there was something that came out today saying that he was looking to make these emergency measures, you know, the financial aspect of the emergency measures permanent.
He's asking for an extension, or he says that the convoy has stopped, or the protest has stopped, but mm-hmm. he's still leaving these financial measures in place.
Yeah. And I am not okay with that. Because from what I understand, too, they were even impounding the people's vehicles while they were sitting there in the protest.
Taking them away. No, it's not just taking away, but taking away their license, you know.
Yep.
Taking their property, seizing their bank accounts.
Yeah.
And without due process.
And of course, you got the, I don't know if it was just a finance minister person speaking or something like that, but she's like, yes, we're going to freeze the crypto accounts as well. You can't freeze the crypto accounts. You can freeze the exchanges, but you can't stop Bitcoin. And people need to understand that.
Well, speaking of that, I think I might need to get with you and remove some crypto here shortly. I have just a touch on... an exchange.
Yeah, I've got to move some more around. Like I said, I always keep a little bit on Coinbase just in case I need to switch anything into fiat or anything like that. But I need to transfer some more stuff over. And then, so the on the other front, with Russia doing their bolstering moves and all that stuff, apparently on February 15th, the Russian Minister of Economic Development signaled a bullish development around Bitcoin. Reduce costs for Bitcoin miners, and what can we make of this? So first off, yes, it is bullish. One of the justifications for the minister has noted has been Bitcoin mining incentivizes a great increase in energy generation while allowing for rapid pivoting of demand by the grid. This means that if energy demand were to shift quickly, say in the wake of an unorthodox weather situation, the grid has the capability to limit or shut down miners with the intent of supplying energy demand where it is most pertinent, which makes sense. If you got people that are freezing, you need to be able to switch your electricity grid to the people that are freezing, not so much the miners. I get that. I understand that, right? But yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah, definitely lower priority, right?
Right, yeah. I mean, they still, but I mean, considering they want to incentivize miners to get reduced energy costs, to me, that's a pretty major win. Secondly, this places pressure on the Western powers. The U.S., the United Kingdom, and the European Union have been slow to concrete decisions on Bitcoin and Bitcoin mining facilitation, which is not surprising in the least. Not only does Bitcoin censorship, resistance, and decentralization threaten the feasibility of the SWIFT system, but they also make controls over capital flight much more difficult to enforce. So, I mean, that's... If their finance minister, I mean, really, I kept on seeing like meme posts today that Putin during his speech, which is amazing that he was like, I'm just going to take these lands, and nobody said anything other than, we're going to put sanctions on you. I'm surprised he didn't just say and be like, and we're going to adopt a Bitcoin standard and walk away.
Yep, that would be kind of a mic drop moment, right?
Well, because they probably don't have the infrastructure in place to do something like that or to pivot in that way. However, I mean... They're probably not far from it. Cause I mean, if, you know, the European central banks and the Fed and everybody else are going to start putting these sanctions on them and they're going to block their SWIFT transactions through the global economic system, they're not going to have much of a choice.
No, they wouldn't. You know, but that's the thing, you know, Saddam Hussein was trying to do the petrodollar back in the late 90s, early 2000s.
Mm-hmm.
To basically get around American sanctions on Iraq. And, you know, there was no network set up, but I mean, this can be a tool of basically, I mean, it's not hostile warfare, but it's definitely economic warfare that Russia could perpetrate on the U.S., correct?
Oh yeah, for sure. I mean, and I guess what the crazy thing is it will become, I don't know. We've talked about this before, I think, and I can't remember if it was on this podcast or the other, but, you know, it'll become like an arms race, really, if the United States is smart about it. Otherwise, you're going to have this coalition of Bitcoin countries and non-Bitcoin countries. And the scary thing is the countries, and, you know, I think you and I have talked about this before, too, is that any country that endorses Bitcoin really has... I guess, more of an embrace of a decentralized and open source nature, which is kind of scary if Russia is that country. You know, you got Canada kind of pivoting exact opposite, becoming the tyrant, and then Russia's looking, you know, like I said, El Salvador, like we said in the last episode, El Salvador is looking amazing.
Yep.
And then Russia, like all of a sudden, comes off looking like the good guy.
Yep. Well, in North Korea, probably too, in Iran.
Well, in North Korea, I have never seen, like, we know that they are stockpiling it for themselves. However, I don't know if they let their citizens have it. I kind of seriously doubt that.
Yeah, I doubt it.
I mean, I think that's just, what is his name? Kim Jong-un? Is that his name?
Yes.
Yeah, he's probably just got, like, a bunch of it that he uses to buy his petrol cheese so he can dip his Cheetos.
All that Hennessy.
All that Hennessy. He says Dennis Rodman taught him all about that one. the crazy thing too, I mean, whenever we look at this whole thing from a geopolitical standpoint with Russia, they provide, I think it's like 33% of the energy to Europe.
Yep.
there's so many questions in my mind about that whole move that Putin's doing. I don't know if he's bolstering. I don't know if he's really going to do something. But I mean, if you don't want NATO to encroach into Europe, you know, Eastern Europe, especially further than what they are, you're giving them the reason to do it by his actions currently.
Yeah, maybe. But, you know, we've been involved with the neighbor. I mean, Ukraine is just right next door to Russia.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not really stopped us from doing whatever we do. Like, we've overthrown their government, you know, 10 years ago or so. The thing is, though, that we have with these two large powers is we have nuclear weapons.
Yeah. And well, that's what scares me the most, right?
Absolutely. And it's not that we just have the nuclear weapons. It's like between Russia and America, we have 90% of them.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, honestly, the most important thing, if not like the first 10,000 most important things in the world right now, is that Russia and America do not go to war.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? At least for the life of the entire planet.
Yeah. I mean, because otherwise it's just escalation after escalation after escalation. Or, I mean, absolutely. That's very possible, right? I mean, and the other thing that scares the hell out of me about this whole thing is even if they don't escalate to nuclear right away, what's China going to do? They're going to be like, ooh, opportunity. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, and that's the thing. Russia and China have been forming an alliance. And it's pretty damn crazy. It's a crazy time to be alive.
Yeah, for sure.
I don't know if this is what it felt like during the Cuban Missile Crisis, but it feels pretty uncomfortable.
Oh,
at least
no.
From my perspective.
Like, I was in Albuquerque this last week, right? And everybody that I talked to down there, I said, you know, I mean, logically speaking, they're like, what are you most afraid of from this conflict? They're like, we're New Mexico. They're like, if this really goes to war with, you know, Russia, more than likely New Mexico's gone.
Oh, yeah. No, like, Los Alamos is like probably one of the top priorities on the list.
Yeah.
And Los Kirtland Alamos, Air Force Base.
Sandia Labs.
Sandia Labs.
Yeah, we are right in a kill zone for sure for anything that's going to happen, right? If it gets to where they're letting nukes off the chain. I mean, if they get to that level, we're all screwed anyways. But that, like,
well, if it goes to that level, you almost want to go first.
Yeah.
You don't want to stick around for the after part.
No.
That's, I mean, Fallout 5 is a fun game, but the real life, not so much.
Yeah. No, I completely agree, but it's just, ooh, doggies. Like, we're not going to, we may see a flash in the sky. Well, luckily for us, we're up north far enough that we probably get to see a little bit of an aftermath. Maybe.
I don't know if that's lucky.
Yeah, I'm just like, to me, it's terrifying. And I don't know what the plan is. I mean, personally, I don't think we should get involved at all. But we're probably not going to let that happen. I mean, America, you know, when I say we, America's not going to let that happen. I think if we'll see, I don't know, maybe he's just like, we'll see what Biden's going to do. Does he think he's just a paper tiger and he's going to fold? Because that's a good possibility.
Well, that's the thing. I'm not really worried about what Biden's going to do. I'm worried about what Biden's handlers are going to do.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I don't even know what to say. I'm just at a loss for words. It's just frightening that this guy is our freaking president right now.
Yeah. Yep.
Not that I would feel a whole lot better with Trump as our president, but at least he would present a stronger front. You know,
yeah,
just something so damn weak about Biden right now.
He would not just, he would have strong words along with a strongly worded letter, I'm sure. And you know what's funny? I mean, as belligerent as Putin is acting right now, and it's not even belligerent. Like, when you look at some of his, what he's writing about this whole thing with the Ukraine situation, it's almost romantic. Like, he is so like, we are the same people. We grew up from the same people. We are the same people. You are our home. We are your home, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's scary. For sure. And yeah, and I mean, yeah, you're right. We're not at that Cuban Missile Crisis, and we're not, I don't know. I mean, this, I definitely feel the tension from it, but it'll be even worse once we hear, you know, word for sure that the troops have entered.
Yeah.
Ukraine. When that, at that happens, point,
if that happens, what's the price of Bitcoin going to do? I think it's going to collapse.
It could. It very well could. Although Ukraine had just recently passed legislation that allowed their people to transact with Bitcoin, which is interesting.
It is interesting. I still think it's going to collapse. The only thing that I think will definitely go up is probably oil.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oil is going to go three figures for sure if all that takes place.
Oh, my gosh. You couldn't even afford to drive across town.
No. It's going to kill us. And then we've got one other hot topic that's going to unfold this week, which we still don't know for sure what it's going to be. But back in January, President Biden was going to bring forth a cryptocurrency executive order. We still don't know exactly what it's going to say or what it's going to, how it's going to be read. But there's two things that they're basically saying that it should have within it. And when, before we started the podcast, I was kind of playing some of this, and I guess you got to kind of hear it, but to me, they make sense. And I don't think they're actually very negative in regards to, for Bitcoin regulation within the United States. It's just trying to give a little bit more of a framework. We've seen, they've cracked down a lot more on any type of illicit activities with Bitcoin or anything like that, which is fine. I mean, you should still be adhering to the law, those types of things. I'm not saying you shouldn't. But basically what they're saying there's two things that this executive order should have. One is it would prohibit any U.S. governmental entity from transacting in cryptocurrency and mandate that any entity that contracts with the U.S. government must attest that they do not engage in any transactions involving cryptocurrency. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, that's going to screw some things up. I was looking at potentially doing some solar stuff on the project I work on with the company I work for, and they're actually looking into cryptocurrency, but they are partially funded by the government, so that's going to put a kibosh on that.
Yeah,
if that is the case.
Yeah, because it's anything that's has any type of federal funding, and they can't. But then you, anything you buy or any seller, right? You wouldn't be able to transact with them anyways. So even if exactly. you could, you couldn't transact with anybody that would take it or would allow it. And that's, to me, I kind of get that because, I mean, when I think about some of that, I think of, you know, the company that I work for and some of the stuff that we produce, like there's very strong restrictions, like whatever we put within, you know, whether it's White Sands Missile Range or anything like that, whatever we're putting into those places, everything's got to be produced within the United States. And if you could bypass and buy any of that stuff from, you know, my company, for example, with Bitcoin, we could transact with anybody all over the world and there would be no oversight in a way, to say that we weren't selling the same type of application and hardware that we're selling to White Sands is what, you know, China could buy the exact same thing and know exactly what it's done with and be bought through Bitcoin or through some intermediary through Bitcoin. My company would be none the wiser as to who got it or how. So I kind of get that. Although, let's be honest, most illicit activities in the world are conducted with cash. You're not going to do Bitcoin.
No. That's the one thing I think that's going to be in this order is there's going to be some type of forensic team that's going to be watching these ledgers going forward.
Yeah, for sure. And I mean, and that's the catch 22, right? As much as you can watch that on what they're doing, they can do the same to you, right? The surveillance is huge with Bitcoin, but it's just, to me, that's kind of the catch 22. It's like, you know what? You want that freedom. Well, guess what? That freedom is also because you are going to, everything's going to be exposed. You're going to get to see everything. Which is, you know, I don't know. Like I said, it's catch 22 to the whole thing. But if that's the price to keep, I guess, unscrupulous individuals and especially unscrupulous government entities from doing certain things that they shouldn't, that we can watch them back for, I think that's, I'm fine with it. The other thing is direct the Financial Crimes Enforcement Network of the U.S. Treasury, or FinCEN, to require U.S. taxpayers holding more than $10,000 of cryptocurrency offshore to file FinCEN Form 114, known as FBAR, to report these holdings. So I'm taking this as an offshore bank account, so anything overseas. So if you have, we're seeing like Bulgaria, I think, just launched a Bitcoin ETF this week, or just today or last week. I think they launched like eight of them. I mean, if you're holding anything, and it's true currently now anyway. So if you have a bank account overseas, like say you have a bank account in the Cayman Islands or something like that, you have to disclose that to the government. So I'm reading this as the same way. Now, if they mean offshore, like as in you're holding it, your own personal wealth, then that's, I'm not okay with that. What are your thoughts?
And that's what I was going to say. I think that that's the route they're going to take. They don't care about the offshores. I mean, technically, you know, all you hold is the keys, and the network is worldwide. So it's in that respect, it is offshore. And they will want you to register your Bitcoin if it's worth a certain amount.
Yeah, and I think that could be kind of an interesting way of how they interpret that. And I don't know how they're going to interpret it yet, but that's how I read it, basically, because they're writing this stuff based off traditional banking and financing systems, right? Our laws are not adapted to what the 21st century digital economy looks like. So,
and it's going to take a long time for them to catch up.
Yeah, it is. It is. It truly is. The other thing that I thought was interesting, did you see what the Fed put out this last week?
What was that again?
Did you see what the Fed put out this last week?
No, I didn't.
So executives within the Federal Reserve are no longer allowed to buy, sell, or trade any crypto, Bitcoin. And it's interesting that they denoted the two separately, stocks or bonds.
Stocks or bonds?
Yep.
As well.
And believe me, it would be kind of creepy if it was just Bitcoin and crypto, because then I'd be like, oh, they're going to bring a ban in. But they're doing it across the board. And the main reason why they want to do it is because they want the Fed to appear unbiased in any of the decisions they make.
Well, we know that that's not the case.
No, it's not. But I thought that was kind of interesting. And it's not everybody within the Fed. I think it's just those that are at the executive level.
That's interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they just adopted that, and I guess a lot of people within the Fed were very upset about that.
Well, you got to imagine there's some pretty wealthy, powerful people that have worked their way up to the top of the Fed.
Yep. Oh yeah.
Who have lots of different holdings all over the place.
Yep. And well, and they know exactly. Oh, okay, so we're going to raise interest rates. So guess what? On risk assets are going to tank.
Maybe they are looking to raise interest rates here shortly.
I'm pretty sure they are. But again, we've talked about this. If they do, they're not going to raise it by 8 points or 15 points. It's going to be like a quarter of a percent.
I don't know. At this rate, with the inflation as nuts as it is, it needs to go up to 25 points.
Oh, at least. But they won't do that.
Oh, no.
I could be completely wrong. Maybe they're going to get super mean about this stuff. I have no idea. But anyways, that's all I really wanted to cover. I mean, there's a lot. We're going to have to touch base later on this week and just kind of see how some of this stuff unfolded and see what Biden's executive order says, see what Russia does, what Putin does in Ukraine, all that. So much.
I know it'll be some interesting times.
Indeed. Indeed, indeed. Did you have anything else you wanted to add?
I think that's it. Hopefully we can maybe get some more episodes out this week.
Yeah, no, for sure.
Especially as the news unfolds.
Yeah, it's such a crazy time. But that's all I've got. Thank you all for listening, and thank you for supporting. And I hope you've gained something out of this. Drop us a line. Let us know you're out there. Let us know you're listening. You can email us at contact@thebitbytepodcast.com, or you can hit me up on Twitter at thebitbytepod1. And then we also have a Discord channel that you can log into and check us out on there, too. And join us in a free chat while we're filming the filming, recording this stuff live. But thank you guys for listening.
Thank you guys.
Bye. Bitcoin's 36,630.01.